My name is Ken Harley and I am now 63, and I started in radio in the very early 70s, and I started with ARD actually, which were up in Mountjoy Square, and the owner was Bernard Llewellyn, who was a TV man, as in he sold them. And I stayed there till probably from 78 until probably it closed in 1979. So I stayed there. So I've seen pictures going around of all of us at a Christmas party. And then I also at the time then moved to Big D, and I worked with Dennis and various people like that. And then while I was there, I worked in Southside Radio, which was out in Rochestown Avenue. So at one stage I was doing two, and then because I knew the people involved in the original Radio Nova, which was Chris Carey, I met him through my friends Brian and Jean McKenzie, who owned a studio. And so we went up and we found the famous building in Herbert Street, and I told some today I actually had Chris walk from downtown somewhere up there, and of course not realizing he was very wealthy and that he could have afforded a taxi. So we went up, and that was the 19 Herbert Street, and then we started building the Nova studio. And at the same time, the studio that Brian and Jean owned was a recording studio for ads, and that was Bay City Studios, so we were building that as well. But then we started doing test broadcasts, so I would sit at the record decks just putting on records. There was a huge collection there, and it was all vinyl, of course. And then the guys would drive around and see how good the signal was. So that was that. And like everything else, it became the legend it was. And I was involved with Brian in the programming of the early music. So that had been probably 81 until probably nearly 82. And then obviously a lot of things happened, politics changed and stuff like that. So I did that, and eventually I stopped. We kept our studio there, so we were recording ads and stuff. I met obviously the talented Tony Allen, mad as a brush, but met him. And I learned a lot from him, because I was then Bay City's recording engineer. I had been working at that anyway, because we used to do our own stuff with my friend Joe Harris. We used to make our own jingles and voiceovers and stuff like that. And then I basically didn't do much radio. I think I did then Q102. And I think that was the last pirate I did. I did then NRG, which was an offshoot of Nova as well. I did Leinster Radio as well. So I was given out for playing two upbeat music. They didn't want to hear Deep Purple, so I had to start playing Michael Franks or something at the time, whatever it might have been. So that really was it. I mean, it was a long career in the sense that I met so many people, and like today, meeting all these different people like Don Moore and that, the Doctor. And, you know, it's just amazing. And when I heard about this, a friend of mine actually texted me and told me that this was actually going to go on. And I thought, oh, go and have a look at this, you know. But it was great times. Some people say, oh, do you regret anything? No, absolutely not. It was a learning curve, so it was very good.
So go back to the first station, and, you know, tell me the connections that were made to bring you to radio.
The connection was my mate Mick Taylor, who was here today. He was doing a programme on a Sunday night, and I used to go in with him, and we used to choose the music together. In those days, you had no playlist, you just made it up, and I'd go in with him, and he was annoyed because he wasn't getting paid, and I think very few people got paid in the Pirates. So someone said to me, there was a jock there, and he says, why don't you do a demo tape? I said, yeah, okay. He says, do you a jock? I said, yeah, I do live jock, and I did radio years ago. But I said, okay. So I did that, and I sent it to who was called Mike Moran, who's Mike Maloney. I sent it to him, and he said it was the worst tape he'd ever heard, but he loved the music. So I got the gig. So then I started doing Sunday nights, and that's how it happened. And I stayed there, and then, as usual, politics again. I left, went to Big D for a while, and then I think I went back to ARD, and I was there.
Tell us about the politics of ARD and
B. Well, I suppose the politics was only ego. I mean, like, you know, in fairness, Bernard Llewellyn used to say, Harley, you know, stop talking, just play the music, you know. And I go, fair enough. And I kind of used to be three in a row and didn't do this as that was. So it wasn't too bad. But they were trying to be more professional, because when ARD closed in 79, the whole idea was to get the legal license. And of course, there had been mooted that there would be any pirates, if they got off the air, they would be favourably looked at for a licence. And as we know, it didn't happen until 88. So at that stage, it was closed. I didn't want to go to the offshoot, which was 257. So I think at that stage I probably went out to Southside Radio. So I worked out there for a while, and that wasn't great because A, you didn't get paid, you should have, because there was a lot of money coming in, and again there was all sorts of things there which I couldn't tell anyone about, but people were getting themselves into serious trouble owing money, and people wanted to do harm to them is probably the polite way of putting it. In Southside, yeah. So it got a bit too much. So I was there, I was back in Big D, and I had to remember all these different jingles because I had Ken Harley on Big D, Ken Harley on Southside Radio, and all these, you know, drop-ins and voices. And then, as I said, then the Nova thing started because I knew Brian and Gene. And the reason I got working with them in the recording studio, they'd heard what I was doing at home with my mate Mick, and we were doing ads for the Pirates, including Southside, and we were doing that. So Brian said to me, he says, bring down your stuff, let me have a listen to it. And I brought it down, and he asked me how I did it. It was very basic equipment, it was all tape in those days. So he then told me about the Nova thing that was happening with Chris Carey, who I knew of, and I knew he was Spangles Muldoon. And so then I was introduced to him, and so the whole thing of the Nova thing, as I said, started from that, and I was there from the beginning of that one as well.
So tell me how the, because it's rare you hear of somebody say I did ads for the Pirates. So tell me how that started. Or
well, the ads would have been local. So Mick used to be doing sales as well. So he'd go out and he'd persuade people that you really need to be on radio. So we'd record them. At that stage, we were lucky enough, Tony Allen, the famous one in radio, he was over here. So Tony would always do a deal for a price. So Tony would do the ads. So they sounded very good. I'd put together the music or whatever for the music, and we'd do that. And then we, when I joined Bay City, they were doing ads and voiceovers and that. But then we started doing singing jingles. And again, we were able to do it because we had our own music library. So then suddenly you were doing ads. I mean, one that used to annoy people was Apollo Discount Store. It went on and on. We used to do the Red Corner Shop ad as well. Lots of ads like that we did. I mean, I have a collection still, this is why I talked to Brian, of ads and stuff that we did and radio memorabilia. I probably even have stickers. I don't know. I'll have to look. So we were doing that. So Nova obviously became huge. We didn't think it would take off the way it did, and it did. So I stayed there with Brian and Jane, and we called it a day in Bay City about 1988. And then I went off and worked in another studio, which was a band recording studio. So that was the difference.
So this was the close down then, finish it?
Pretty much the close down, yeah. I stayed kind of doing radio. I was very lucky actually when the Pirates were still going and Nova had closed, I was asked, because I used to do Christmas shows, because I wasn't mad about doing it all the time, and I used to call it my Christmas ego, so you got to play what you fancied, which was great. And so if someone said to me, do you want to do a couple of shows over Christmas, because people wanted to go home, I'd say, yeah, fine. So I'd do a couple of shows, have to learn again because I was out of practice. So it was not always the best broadcast, but the music was always good, and that was where I was at. And so I did some of those, Q102 and you know, NRG, and that was it. Radio Leinster was one as well. That was Mike Maloney. He asked me to do that. And again, they complained about the up-tempo music. So for the couple of nights I was on over the Christmas, I had to tone it down a bit, which was fine. There's no problem there. And really, I'm not sure what else I can tell you, you know. That's kind of the condensed version, I suppose.
Okay, well, look,